to do President Fofa like current reporting from
I, they, D.
What do you know about these, Scott?
I don't know. A, B, C, D. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere the Mary went, this is a tape recorded at number 179 Kooyong Road, Rivervale, on the occasion of a reception to Bruce and Christine McKenzie on their return to Kenya in Africa.
Kenya.
There is quite a large gathering of all 458 Squadron in Western Australia present, praising their wives. To mention a few, we will start with the President, Bill Clues, the Secretary, Henry Efferton, Charlie Davis, Terrace Baker, Ron Galloway, Tim Dale, Ted Jewell, Ben Cormack, Trike Wheeler, Jim Farmer, who came from Kajuna for the occasion, Al Wheat from Geraldton, Ted Jewell, I think I mentioned his name before, Huey Crocker, Ava Chessel, Ron Galloway, who else is there? Not forgetting myself, Butch Power, Bingy Stewart, Gordon Jones, Stephen, gonna get him out. The setting is Bill Cruiser's backyard, which has been duly laid out for the occasion with tables, chairs, coloured lights, and a barbecue. In the foreground is a model of a Wimpy made by Henry Efferton to scale. It is approximately 2'6" long and about 3-foot wingspan and is complete in every detail. Bruce McKenzie and his charming wife Christine are both present, as also are officers from the Prime Minister's Department and the chauffeur, whatever you call it, from the Department of the External Affairs. One feature of the evening has been a sign which was prominently displayed outside the front of the house. This sign is comparable with a sign which was on the road leading into the squadron at Prattville, endorsed McKenzie's Air Force. The sign, of course, was the attraction, and nobody had any difficulty in finding Bill Cleese's place. This is indeed an occasion for all the members of 458 Squadron Association WA Flight, in that it is 25 years since they last saw their commanding officer, then Colonel Bruce McKenzie, who is now the Minister for Agriculture in the Kenya government under the Prime Minister, Mr. Kenyatta.
We love your husband. Would you mind coming forward?
I've known your old man for very many years, but we've only just met you. And what amazes us is how an old coot like him could ever catch up with a charming chick like you. President Bill Cleese has a few words of wisdom which he would like to impart, and as far as I know, I think you're on the receiving end. So it's over to Bill Cleese.
Thanks, Butch. I don't know about words of wisdom, Crusader, but I'll go along with Butch. I don't know how he caught up with a beautiful chick like you, as he says. The boys have all gathered around tonight to welcome Mac and yourself, and we hope you thoroughly enjoyed yourself. We have gathered a little... Yes, righto, Tim, we want this on the table. We've got a little presentation we'd like you to accept on behalf of the boys of the squadron.
Oh, goodness, my
I certainly hope that when you get back home to Kenya, that these few little tokens will remind you of us and the evening you've had with us.
Well, thank you very, very much indeed. I'm very touched and very surprised by the kindness. I don't think I deserve it at all. But certainly it's Connor's fellow, or rather your fellow. So I know I very gratefully accept it.
Out of this, by any means, I'd like you to come over and say a few words. This tape, by the way, we're going to send around the rest of the squadron flight, and I'm sure you'll have a few words of wisdom to say to the boys.
Bill Butch, ladies and gentlemen, what really worries me about this evening is this present which you've given Christina. I can see her now wanting to sleep in the other bed to cuddle something else instead of cuddling the old man. So thank God we're leaving tomorrow morning before you give us something bigger to cuddle. Ever since I've arrived in Australia, it's been extremely touching that each place I've gone to, I've been able to meet people of 458. And as I was saying in Sydney the other evening, there are really only two things which I'd really like to say tonight. First of all, when we meet like this, we are inclined to forget certain members of 458. And I would just like to begin with by saying, let's just remember, just for a second or two, those who are not with us tonight, for the simple reason that they never came back and could not be with us. Some of them were ground crew, some of them were air crew. Just for a second or two, just let's remember some of them, because had they had the opportunity, they would have been here tonight. Now after that, let me say that I'm sure that they would be the last to say that we shouldn't enjoy ourselves as we have enjoyed ourselves. The second point I wanted to come to was that it is impressive that no matter where I have gone in the world, and I have traveled a tremendous lot over the last 12, 14 years on behalf of the government of Kenya, and I have met people who have had something to do with the air forces of the allied forces, as they were in the last war, in many, many strange places indeed. And as I was saying this evening to one or two of you, one evening I was booking in late at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York, and an American came up to me. At least I thought at the time he was an American. He came up to me and he said, weren't you in the Australian Air Force? And just out of the blue, I said to him, no, I wasn't. After a minute or two, as I was signing, booking in, he said, now look here, are you sure you were not in the Australian Air Force? I said to him, no, but in fact I was in an Australian squadron, 458 squadron. He said, yes, you know, I was sure I had seen you in an Australian squadron. I don't know who you are, I don't remember you, but I remember that you were involved with an Australian squadron. So I then said to him, well, now where have you come from? And we had a chat. And he had been a Canadian who had had a Canadian friend in 458 at Prattville, and had come to Prattville to 458, and had never ever forgotten the spirit and what he had met with 458 Squadron in Prattville. Now, during the war, I was fortunate enough to serve with quite a number of squadrons, and then I had two wings of my own before the end of the war. And I can honestly and truthfully say that never ever did I find anywhere the spirit which we had in 458 Squadron. Now, there are many reasons which one could give why we had the spirit in 458. I went from 458 to another squadron which was an absolute shambles. And it never ever came anywhere near what 458 Squadron was, no matter how hard some of us tried to get the spirit in that squadron up to what we had in 458 Squadron. I think part of the reason of our success in 458 Squadron was that we were perhaps pretty rough from various Commonwealth countries. You Aussies were tough. Some of the rest of us thought we were tough too. And maybe it was a little bit of Greek meeting Greek. But we at least accepted each other as young men on a basis of man to man. And if a person's job was to fly the aeroplane, or to see that the aircraft was operational, or to see that the armament side had been done properly, he was left in a kind of honor to see that his part of the battle in the squadron was done. 458 was a squadron in which there was not a lot of bull, and but we held a reputation in the whole of the Mediterranean of being the squadron that had the highest serviceability and the highest actual operational record, something which was never in the whole of the war, in the whole of the Mediterranean, the desert, Italy, and the south of France, was never equal. Now, there must have been a reason for this, and I'm sure that the reason was that everybody was given and knew his job, and it was left to him. And on no occasion did any of us, that I can remember, ever let anybody else down. No, Butch, I don't agree with that at all. It was a spirit which we built up amongst ourselves. And perhaps I now may move on to another aspect which, let me just get a little bit sentimental on this. We have left in the British way of life a British Commonwealth. There are some of us who are attempting to develop parts of Africa, and let me talk about Kenya, my own country. We are trying to develop Kenya in a British way of life. You people in Australia are fortunate that you have got a British way of life. Doesn't matter about your new immigrants, you've got the basis of a British way of life. And undoubtedly, as I have been able to tell you, are proud of it, and so are your new Australians. Don't let them accept otherwise. We in Kenya are fortunate that in our part of Africa, we have Africans who are prepared and have come up even one generation to be educated and take on a British form of life. They have integrated into a British form of life. Those of your children who are now in Malaya and Vietnam and other places north of you will find that those people have a difficulty in integrating into this British way of life. We in Africa are fortunate that our Africans in one generation move into this British way of life. They will sit on a British loo. They won't squat. They will eat British food. They'll eat a steak. They'll use a fork and knife. They will accept integration virtually completely. They'll understand our religious background. Therefore, I think that there is a necessity for an older Commonwealth country such as Australia, and Canada is another one, to join in with some of us in the younger African countries and fight this battle today, which is before us, in, and I call it, a British way of life. Maybe I'm a little sentimental on this, but this is something which a lot of us fought for, this type of freedom, this type of way of life. And I think that a lot of you now can play another part in this battle. Your direct route to Europe now is via Mauritius and Kenya on the way to Europe. And I sincerely hope that if any of you are going to visit Europe and come back on your way to Australia, that you will either come via Kenya on your way to Europe, or you will come back again from Europe via Kenya. And if you will send us either Christina and I a cable so that we can take care of you and show you just what this type of battle, which a number of us are fighting in Kenya, means. We are surrounded by communist infiltration, but we are holding our own and we are being successful. Now, I would just like to tell you that one of my greatest supporters in Kenya is an Australian. He's a farmer. He has a brother in this city. But he has been in Kenya for nearly 40 years, a man by the name of Harold White. I met a nephew of his who is in your external affairs as a lawyer in Canberra. He's an Australian, but he's a great Kenyan. And I'm sure that if you ever have the opportunity of coming our way, I've just been having a talk to Tim, and I hope that the result of our talk will be that Tim will be able to come over and have a look how the poor live in Kenya and come back and report to you. May I now end, Bill, by saying how much I appreciate this little do that we've had tonight. How pleased I am to see a number of you. Some of you look a little older. One or two of you, I don't know how the hell you've done it, but you look a little bit younger. I don't know how you've done it. But let me just end up by saying that this kind of evening can become emotional as far as I'm concerned. And I know by the look on Christina's face that it means something to her to see people who shared the difficulties for part of the war with myself, and especially those who were close to me during part of the war. Perhaps I shouldn't end without saying that I think that your war memorial at Canberra is the best I have ever seen anywhere in the world, and I have seen most of them. There are very, very few parts of the world that I have not been to, including the tremendous museums and statues and shrines that have been put up by the socialist country in Bucharest, in Prague, in Sofia, in Moscow. Nowhere, and I've been a little emotional in quite a number of them, but nowhere have I felt the atmosphere as I felt in Canberra. John Cleary and Monty Percival, who were with me, and I'm sure both of them noticed it. I think that you have got something really tremendous in your war memorial at Canberra. And I only hope that at some stage it can be arranged that every Australian child, before they leave their secondary school education, can go to Canberra and have a look at Canberra for Parliament buildings, etc., but that they be put through for a couple of hours through that war memorial to show what the people of Australia have done for the freedom of your country in Australia. Sometimes I'm led to believe that some of the younger people take the freedom which they've got today too easily. Maybe this is because we are still in the throes of the battle right on our doorstep in Kenya against communism. You are the same. It is a little bit outside from your doorstep, but it's nearby. And I sincerely hope that something can be done of this so that these children can appreciate what not only the people whose names are inscribed in that memorial, but people such as yourselves who are around here this evening, and when we meet we only talk about the good times. But all of us did our bit in helping for the freedom of these children, and they ought to appreciate it. Bill, thank you very much indeed. May I thank your good lady for the finest curry I've had in a long, long time. Bless all of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Bruce, for a very enlightened few words on the state
and I feel sure that this will go right throughout the rest of the flights in Australia and will be appreciated. And Christina, please don't run away. I feel that a few words from you would gladden the hearts of the rest of the boys in the Eastern States. Do you think you could?
I knew what I could say to add to what Bruce has already said. Have it in my know how perhaps unhappy it's been to see all these little boys again. I've heard some pretty terrific stories about their enterprises and joint enterprises, and I've been so happy to meet you all and marvellously perhaps myself that I could be included in it. You forgive me if I say no more than that, but thank you.
Thank
very,
you very,
very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Christina. Thank you. What about good show? I've got...
No, that's not going on tape. It's all right. I just cut it out.
I've got to say a couple of words in there, Bill.
Tim Dale would like to have a couple of words here. Tim was a...
All I like to say is that it appreciates me tonight to meet old Mac, the Mad Major as we used to call him, tonight. After 25 years, he used to come down there to the squadron and he'd say, "You do your job, you don't want any leave passes or anything." Everyone done their job. And we all looked up to him as a great man. And he has carried on being a great man as he was then. And I appreciate all the boys here tonight and the women for what they've done and what they've done for Mac tonight and Christina. And I think we all appreciate it, and no one would be more touched than me to see Mac tonight and to meet Christina. Thanks very much.
Well, come on, you blokes. There's quite a lot of you. We've got a lot to say when you're sitting around that jug. What about a few words? What about you, Al?
What do you want, boys?
Just a burble in the mic, because I've got to fill this tape up. It's just Nigel. It's going.
Bill, in fairness, there's only one condition I'll say a few words, and that is that I take the tape back to Dalton tomorrow so I can play it to Mum and the kids. I've got nothing further to say other than that, Bill.
Time
that to the director of the War Memorial, said, well, Minister, if you can get back, we'll post a 4 to 5, but if you can get back at all, well, no trouble, just let me know, and I will stay on. And, he said to me, Minister said to me later, can we get a half an hour somewhere in my life? Well, yes, so we've got the train at 5:30, we can, if we can cut a half an hour out to start in the primary industry, if there's anything I can see. So fortunately, the chairman of the meeting, Mr. Moden, the secretary of the department, was so friendly to me, and I mentioned it to him at the parliamentary luncheon, and the minister, of course, himself was anxious to cut it short, and we actually carved a half an hour off the talk at the Department of Primary Industry, down from the hour and a half or hour and three quarters, down to a little over an hour, and we gained this extra time, and we called to the War Memorial after going to the hotel, getting our baggage. It's on the way to the airport, and we called in, and we had another half an hour there, and we stayed to the very last minute, and off we went straight onto the aircraft.
Oh, that's fine.
And another very good thing that did happen, I'm very glad to say, Mr. Lancaster, seeing his interest in this particular section of the Rover runner, but he came back in the afternoon and was able to give him about, must have been about 16 by 8 enlargement, which he had taken in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
And every name stood out clearly in the
Well, this is fine, because this is something that I feel sure anybody would appreciate. I know I would have myself.
He is taking us back to senior with him.
Oh, that's fine. Good. Thanks, Monty. And it's very nice to have got you on the...
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I feel an honour to have travelled with him here in Australia. Not only because of the magnificent work you were doing in Kenya. I did not know this aspect of his career when he came here until we got his biography, but that was only words. Now I have seen his clothes in flesh and blood in memory of people in whom you associated.
Well, thank you, Monty.
Anyway, we have no
Well, I've just been talking to Mr. Monty Percival, who is Department of Industry, travelling with Mr. McKenzie, as he has no secretary with him. Mr. Percival has been with Bruce McKenzie ever since he arrived in Australia, and I feel sure that he's been well looked after in that respect. Now, we've got a couple of our squadron members here who are just about to depart, and I'd like to ask Jim Palmer and his good wife, Lucy, to say a few words if they don't mind. If you'd like to say a few words, you know, like about the evening and how you feel about it. Coming all the way as you did from Kajunup to be with the boys.
Well, Bill, I can just say that it's been a very great pleasure, and I wouldn't have missed it for anything. It's been an excellent evening and an education to hear Max speak of his experiences in Australia and also his work in Kenya. And the only regret I have that it wasn't very much longer.
This is one of the sad things about this visit, that it's been very short and we haven't sort of been able to get together with him as we possibly would have liked. But it certainly amazed me to listen to Max talking tonight, and I feel sure that no doubt you felt the same way about it.
Yes, my word, certainly did. And I suppose one must be grateful for small mercies, really. And it's been very well worthwhile being here. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks very much, Jim, and it's very good to have had you with us tonight. I'm damn glad you were able to come up from Kajunup, which is a long trip. And I hope you're going to arrange to stay overnight somewhere, not driving back tonight. That's fine, Jim. Thanks a lot. I feel sure there's quite a bit of goodbyes and how do you do that we could possibly get on here.